Hello and welcome to Healing from Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of Life is No Coincidence and the Living Spirit, books that share the process of awakening, transforming, and transcending the physical challenges of life to refine our inner intuitive soul essence so we may create lives that are purposeful, joyful, and healthy. And I am delighted today to welcome Colin Stanley to discuss the thoughts and writings of Colin Wilson, a prolific author of the 20th century, and his book, The Ultimate Colin Wilson. Hello, and thank you for joining us today.
Hello, it's a great pleasure.
Colin, as listeners of Healing from Within are well aware, my guests and I share intimate stories and insights into the metaphysical aspects of our dual nature as spiritual beings having a physical life and exploring how to use this knowledge of higher consciousness and awareness of the many mystical as well as scientific insights into understanding universal energy or creation for living life both physically and energetically balanced and purposefully. In today's episode of Healing from Within, we will discuss Colin Wilson, an author best known perhaps for his book The Outsider, the best-selling classic of British existentialism and the occult, his survey of the supernatural. We'll discuss ideas of a man perhaps ahead of his time and show us how to be more aware of our full potential as complex human and spiritual beings. Colin, I always love to ask my guests, because I get the most fantastic answers, to think back to their childhood and remember a person, place, event that may have shown them or others the lifestyle or interest they would pursue as an adult. You might like to tell us your own remembrance as a child and perhaps something about Colin Wilson's beginning life.
Yes, Colin was born in Leicester in the East Midlands of the UK. I was born down in the southwest of the UK, in the county of Devon. Colin's upbringing was very much working class. His father was in the boot and shoe industry, and I think Colin found Leicester not a very stimulating place when he became of age, so to speak, in his teens. He found little there of cultural interest to him, and he eventually, having been born in 1931, he moved when he was 19 to London, where he found a lot more stimulus and a lot of people who really felt the way that he felt, and he was able to converse with these people and benefit from their friendships. And I was born 20 years after that, in 1952. But I was born in a small village, a small town in Devon, and the same really happened to me when I became a teenager in my late teens. I felt, you know, that there wasn't enough for me, and so I moved to London too, and my life sort of opened up as a result.
Yeah. So, you could say you were both maybe from the same soul group or had the intention to deliver some of the same information and ideas, or perhaps you were old souls who had much experience and wisdom, and living in a small town gave you something that was valuable for the work you would do later on in really appreciating breaking out of that type of lifestyle. It's very interesting. Yeah.
Yes.
So let's go on to, I read in the book that when Colin was 11 years old, his grandfather gave him a tattered and a science fiction magazine. And there was a story in it about Albert Einstein. And the stories excited him, and they were mostly about experiments that got out of hand. And then he was able to get the little volume, Relativity, the Special and General Theory, and he imagined himself occupying a place in the hierarchy, Galileo, Newton, Planck, Einstein, and he included himself because he had a feeling, I believe he had a feeling he was much more than his body, and there was much more within us to bring out into the world. So I would think I was quite like that myself as a child. I used to watch Star Trek, the series, and I saw the Transformer where they would rearrange people's molecules, moving them from one place to another. And I remember thinking, whatever the mind creates or thinks can be achieved. So I think we were those kind of kids, you know. We were working beyond time and space, and we understood there was much more than our physical life, and we had to answer the questions, who are we, where do we come from, and what are we really here to do in this time and place? So tell us about Colin Wilson and some of the ideas that he had in his first book, The Outsider.
Yes, well, it's interesting that you should mention his early interest in Einstein, because his intention was to be a scientist. I think he started to become interested in literature and philosophy at a later date. As a young man, he wrote a 12 volume sort of essay on general science. So and some of those volumes still exist. They were never published, of course, but this gives you some idea that he really started off as a scientist and then morphed into this interest in what is meaning and purpose.
Because he wanted to answer the same questions. Who are we? Where do we come from? How do we prove who we are and what life's all about? Energy. He wanted to understand the universe and all the wonderful mysteries of life. And eventually it took him to philosophy, as it did me also, and literature. And we were seekers of the divine truth of the universe, I would say. And we were lucky enough to find many of the answers. He was, you are, and I am. So that we belong to a very special club. Now, how did you become involved with him and his work?
Yeah. Well, of course, his first book, The Outsider, combined this interest in literature and philosophy, of course. But it wasn't really his first book, because he had been writing a novel since around about 1949, which was, you know, 7 years before The Outsider was published. And the novel was called Ritual in the Dark. And it was eventually published in 1960, but as you know, 4 years after The Outsider. And it was through this novel that I discovered Colin Wilson quite by chance. I was 18 years old. I had just left school. I didn't really know what to do with my life, and I was sitting pondering upon this when suddenly it started to rain, and I ran into a bookshop. I spun one of these spinner racks that they used to have paperbacks on in bookshops, and it stopped right in, and there was this novel, Ritual in the Dark. Well, I was very interested in sort of horror stories and amazing tales, and I was very interested also in Jack the Ripper, and it said that this novel was a modern take on the Jack the Ripper murders that occurred in London in the late 19th century. And so I picked it up and read it, and I found really that there was much more to the novel than that. It was very much a novel of ideas, as of course all Colin Wilson's novels were. They were his way of putting his philosophical ideas into action, and he would often write a novel and a non-fiction book at the same time. So, yes, my introduction to Colin was through Ritual in the Dark, and then I started to read him more systematically.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you really think that it was a coincidence that you both have the first name Colin, and that you found his book, and you have been an adjunct to getting his work and your own out into the world? My first book is Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection. And I believe nothing is random. We are downloading inspiration from a higher intelligence. Some people call it universal source, God, spirit, the divine. And so what do you think about that?
Was it? Well, of course, Colin was very interested in Jung's theory of synchronicity. A lot of synchronicities are involved in my connection with Colin, really. I mentioned to you that I started to read Colin in the early 1970s, but then I went off at a bit of a tangent. But I got a job in a library, and they put me on the job of reshelving books in special collections, and it just happened that one of the special collections was a collection of authors whose surname began with W, and so there I had all of Colin Wilson's novels in front of me, and I could read all of those. The other special collection was on metaphysics, and so most of Colin's Outsider Cycle was there. So, you know, over the years, things have happened that have just brought me back to Colin's work, because, I mean, basically, he uses, he sort of educates through his books, and he wants people to go and read the people, the philosophers, the novelists that he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it can be very easy when you're a Colin Wilson reader to go off at a tangent and start reading other people, and this is what I did on several occasions, but always found myself coming back to him. And then in the early 1980s, I decided that I might like to become his bibliographer, and I wrote to him, and virtually by return of post he wrote a very encouraging letter and encouraged and asked me to go down and visit him in his home, which is right in the on the very tip of the southwest of England, and you know, things took off from there, really.
Yeah, well, in his book, The Outsider, was about this problem that romantics suspected was the truth about the world in its ordinary aspects and trivial aspects, that human beings are basically selfish, short-sighted, narrow-minded little animals, as it was written, and that all attempts to convince themselves that we can reach for the stars are like a game of make-believe. But so many of us who are aware of soul energy and spirit are like those people reaching for the stars. And he also discussed the problem of men who experience moments of intense ecstasy and affirmation, even though they were being dragged down by the triviality of everyday life and sometimes the misery of unfulfillment. Now, that's what many of the great talented artists, authors, musicians have sought, the answer to that question. And in the book, The Ultimate Colin Wilson, you try to understand the human condition and social problems facing modern day society, and also the dynamics of male-female tensions or interactions. Can you tell us something about that? I found it very fascinating.
The ultimate Colin Wilson really takes extracts from what he considered to be his most important books. And what I've basically done is updated it, because it was first published in 1985 as The Essential Colin Wilson. And Colin never really updated it. So I decided that I would ask several experts on Colin's work to choose their favorite extract from a post 1985 book. And so what I did was I stuck those onto the end of the essential Colin Wilson. Now, the book therefore covers most aspects of Colin's work. There's not only the philosophy, there is the work that he did in the field of psychology with Abraham Maslow. There's his work on sexuality, as you just referred to. Most importantly for me, his work on consciousness studies, which I think if Colin is remembered for anything, which I'm sure he will be, it will be in that field, that is his contribution.
Higher consciousness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was also interested in criminology. And so what we've tried to do in The Ultimate Colin Wilson is to represent all these things and show how they all sort of tie together.
Yeah, and he was also extremely interested in understanding loneliness, which affects all of us. His search was to discover, is the outsider frustrated and neurotic, or is he neurotic because of some deeper instinct that pushes him into solitude and goes to the heart and soul of all people's unhappiness? So I think that was one of his deep qualities, trying to understand like the perversion of some men and the instincts that perhaps invaded them and caused them unhappiness, and maybe that's why he was interested in criminology, because he saw that many people were struggling with understanding themselves and their purpose in life and how to bring about happiness. But there were many situations not allowing that to be. So what can we say about that? These unnameable impulses that made him an outsider seeking the truth. I believe he was seeking the truth.
Oh, yes, well, certainly. Well, the whole idea of the outsider is that here we have someone who doesn't feel at home in the present society, who feels that there's more to life than meets the eye. And Colin didn't think that was the be all and end all of everything. He felt that was just the beginning, and that we should then try to progress beyond the outsider, which was in fact the title of the sixth volume in his outsider cycle. And his interest in criminology, particularly in serial killing, was very much connected to this, because serial killers on the whole are people who are outsiders. They have a grudge against society. They think that society owes them a living. And so, if you like, they are the negative, the dark side of outsider. And outsiders can go either way. They can go towards the darkness or towards the light. And of course, Colin was mostly interested in those who had gone towards the light. But he was also fascinated by the outsiders who turned the other way.
Yeah, I think essentially he seemed to be a rebel in rebellion against what was the lack of spiritual understanding in a material, prosperous civilization. So one of his themes was a lack of spiritual awareness in a marginally industrialized modern nation, perhaps. And that's just what you just said. He was looking for the light, but he also was aware that in each of us there is a shadow side, and we find balance when we balance our physical life with our spiritual life. Now, what would you like readers of The Essential Colin Wilson to take away with them after reading the book? There's so much there. How can we focus our listeners on a main point?
Well, the point of the book is really to provide a sort of bite-sized introduction to all the aspects of Colin Wilson's work, and to not just to people who have not read him before, but also to people who have read him in the past, and to just want a reminder as to what his writing was all about. So really, it's a primer, I suppose you could say. We want really people to go on from the ultimate Colin Wilson to read the actual books themselves, and you know, this is starting to happen. A lot of his early books are now being reprinted. Only last month, his most important book, The Introduction to the New Existentialism, was reprinted. Watkins have just asked me to write introductions to three other reprints, which they are planning. A book called Super Consciousness, which they plan to bring out in December. Mysteries, which was the second in the Occult trilogy, the follow-up to the Occult. Now that's going to come out in June next year, just ahead of the International Colin Wilson Conference, which I'm convening here in Nottingham. And the third one will be Beyond the Occult, which Colin considered to be his most important book. That will come out in October, I believe, next year. So, you know, things are happening. His books are being reprinted all the time. But we hope that the ultimate Colin Wilson will help.
You know, I think he's going to be partially remembered because he wrote, "It has become commonplace that no man asked himself what life was about, or if he did, answered with a arrant nonsense or wishful thinking." He once asked his grandfather during an argument about the existence of God if he understood the purpose of life, and he told me he did, and would tell me when I was 14. Unfortunately, his grandfather died when he was 11, and I think he was, as I was always looking for, and you perhaps too, about the purpose of life, and answering that it was a will for self-understanding and self-mastery of our emotions. And in reference to this search past loneliness of the soul, and in answer to the question he was asking, is there really a God or source of creation, I wrote in my new book, New Life Awaits, The Eyes of Spirit Share Evolution, Revolution, and Global Awakening, the following. Each of us have a specific, unique destiny, experiences, and challenges that are included in a life plan or itinerary that comes into this world with us at conception. At conception, the soul part of life merges with the physical body for the ultimate purpose of exploring our divine potential. I was reminded only recently that true happiness can only be found by understanding our true worth as divine beings having a physical life. When we are able to discern our part in the process of creating happiness for ourselves and others, we will also recognize that the instinctual need to grow and put forth our divine view of God and presence in the world is really our reason for being. And I think he was seeking that also. He was seeking to put out into the world something within himself that was so divine and special that he had no choice but to follow his destiny and do it. And you're doing the same thing for and with him. So I want to thank you, Colin Stanley, author of The Essential Colin Wilson, for sharing your deep investigation and study of a great thinker, philosopher, seeker of science and spirituality, as he and all great seekers ask the question, who are we and why are we living this life? For a deep and insightful look into the mysteries of life, science, and spirituality, and to purchase this book, go to Amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have explored age-old questions that direct and demand answers from some of the most progressive thinkers of our time and before our time, who have never been motivated by the materialistic factors of the physical world alone, but by an inner energetic soul presence that calls to them through time and space to remember who they are and to bring this message of eternal life into the world by their life work and the way they regard the infinite possibilities for improving the human condition. Colin Wilson reflects this in the passage he wrote that goes as follows. This vision of the eternal pattern behind trees and plants brings to mind Bohem's mystical experience when he walked in the field and saw the signature of all things, as if he could see the sap rising in the trees and plants. He went for a walk in the forest and met Gordachev. Gorbachev told him, the real complete transformation of being that is indispensable for a man who wishes to fulfill the purpose of his existence requires a very much greater concentration of higher emotional energy than that which comes to him by nature. There are some people in the world, but they are rare, who are connected to a great reservoir or accumulator of this energy. This reservoir has no limits. Those who can draw upon it can be a means of helping others. Colin and I would hope those listening will explore their own inner heart urges that call to you in dreams, meditation, and in nature to find the light or spirit within and answer questions about your own desires to live and love life and yourself and others. And then you will be drawing on the energy from above and within, and you will find the truth. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about and listen to leaders in the metaphysical, scientific, philosophical, spiritual, and indeed all walks of life as they allow themselves to be part of the mystery of the divine and live life accordingly. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.